Time of year, of course, we're thinking about time because that's why we're here. The clock is turning over from one year to the next, and our God is the God who created time. You know, He's outside of time. He is from all eternity in the past to the future. Jesus' name in the Bible, Micah 5, the Ancient of Days, which is really days of eternity. And God has created this space of time that we live in, and I believe tonight He's given a message to us for how He wants us to look at time, our attitude. How are you facing 2016 when you're thinking about how should you use the time that God has given to us? What does God, our, you know, author of all time, what does He say to us about how we should look at 2016? Let's take a look at that today, and especially by looking at a parable that y'all probably know quite well, but we need a refresher in, which is the parable of the unjust steward. Remember that parable? Luke chapter 16. Let's refresh ourselves by reading that, and then we'll explain it. Or I will, at least. You can help me. How about that? Jesus said to His disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that people may receive me into their houses when I'm put out of the management.' And this is what he did. He says, 'So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. It says, "The master commended this dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the sons of light. And I tell you," says Jesus, "make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal habitations." So you all got that, right? We're all done? No, not exactly. Right? This is one of the more difficult parables to understand, actually. And I think it's a fantastic parable for us tonight. Let's take a little look at it. And does this sound like Jesus is holding this guy up as someone to imitate in some way? Right? And so how are we supposed to imitate him? First of all, who is the owner of all things in this parable? The one who owns everything. Who's he relate to? God, right? God owns everything. And he's given to people a certain management of goods that he has in order to manage well, right? He's the steward. And so that's us. Now, how is this guy doing? Does Jesus tells us we're supposed to imitate this guy in some way? Right? Now, in what ways do we imitate him? He was dishonest in his business dealings before he got caught. Should we imitate in this way? What's the answer?
No.
No. All right, that's it. I need a real participation. Okay.
No.
How about this? That the man was greedy for money. Should we imitate him in that?
No.
No. How about that this man, when he found out he was caught, started doing more clever dealings and swindling his master out of even more money? Take your bill quickly and write 80. Take your bill quickly and write 50. Was that a good thing to do?
No.
No, so we're not to imitate him in that either. How are we supposed to imitate this guy? Let's take a look there again at one of these, at this one verse in verse 9 or 8. It says, "The master," the owner of everything, right? "He commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness." Now that word in the Greek, let me just make sure I got it right here, because you really need to know it, right? Phronimos. Okay, can you say that? Phronimos. That was why he was commended. The owner commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of this world," says Jesus, "are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the sons of light." So what was the guy's, what was he being commended for? That he swindled his master out of money? That he was dishonest, that he was greedy. What was the owner, obviously not, right? What was the owner commending this guy for? How clever he was, right? How prudent he was. If you look this up in the Greek, it means that this guy conducted his affairs basically very efficiently and well to his own advantage. And that's true, isn't it? What was this guy doing so great, even though he was a mess in other ways? Okay, because he's a son of this world, right? But what did he do well? He knew that he'd messed up, that there was an accounting coming, that there was a day of judgment coming for him. He knew a little wisp of time in order to store up for himself the best future and avoid a disaster in the future. And he used that little piece of time very, very wisely. With respect to money, with respect to his time, he put what little he had to super use in a very little time. And what did he do? I mean, he got out of his hole, right? He actually laid up for himself a super future. Because in the actual worldly aspect of this, I mean, he's going to get fired. He's getting fired. Maybe he had only an hour to do all this work. He used that hour. He got it all done. And by the time he's fired an hour later, when the master opens the books and condemns him and says, you're fired, the guy's already set up his future. And all these other guys are going to receive him into their houses because he was so kind to them. Now, does Jesus want us to be dishonest with our money this way?
No.
What is Jesus telling us to do? He's setting this guy up as an example, but we're only supposed to follow him in one aspect, really, that he used his little time that he had very wisely, and he used unrighteous money to his best advantage for his future, right? And Jesus says, the sons of this age, the sons of this world, are more shrewd or wise in the way they deal with the people of this world than the sons of light are with respect to heavenly things. Okay, does that make sense? What I mean is, any sinful, slovenly, greedy, wicked Wall Street, you know, guy like this who's stock in illegal trader, whatever bonds and illegal insider trading, at least he knows when the chips are down and how he has very little time and he acts quickly to get things done for his future. Jesus says, but the sons of light, that is, the sons of the world to come, are not as wise as the sons of this age. Because they also know that they have but little time to lay up for themselves a super future, and they have but limited resources, limited time, and they can do just what this guy did and lay up a super future for themselves with good deeds and such things and riches. But he says the sons of this light are not as wise as the people of this world. And what's that mean? They don't manage their time well, right? They don't manage their money well for their future eternal inheritance. And so what is Jesus telling us tonight by this parable? Use the little time. Look at this. Look at 2016. How fast did 2015 fly by for you?
Very fast.
Super fast, right? It feels like I was preaching the same sermon type of thing like yesterday. Okay, that was a year ago, all right? Time flies. I mean, we had some fun in this world, because time flies when you're having fun. We also had some very difficult times this year, but it went by quickly. And God is telling us, since he created time, like it says in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom, right? How fleeting our life is. It says in Psalm 39, let me know how fleeting my life is. You've just made it a few hand breaths. That means just a few of these. It's very short. Our lives are short. Like a friend of mine, I've told you, at the marina, an older guy, and he says, Greg, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end of the roll, the faster it rolls out. And God says you've got but a little amount of time and you've got resources at your disposal. Use them wisely. Your money and your time and whatever else I give you. Be a good manager. And then I'll commend you for your cleverness, for your wise dealings, for your efficient use of time. In that you've used that time to lay up for yourself a great future. Right? That's what God wants us to do. But he says, most of my people, the sons of light, don't do this. They forget this, and they just live like the world, and they're wasting a lot of their time that they could. That's why Jesus says, And you know this verse so well, but hear it again clearly from him in a refreshed way, okay? Jesus says, Matthew 6:19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be." Think about that, that God is commanding you. He says, I want you to be ambitious. I want you to be great businessmen. I want you to be wise. I want you to be shrewd. I want you to be clever. I want you to be fast. I want you to be efficient. Think of how little time you have and lay up for yourselves treasures that no thieves can break in and steal. No moth or rust can consume. It's high in the heavens. And if your treasure's in the heavens, that's where your heart will be also. Live for this. Let there be focus in your life when it comes to 2016. And guess what? We've all failed at this, right? I failed at this, you failed at this, but and we'll probably still fail at this, but God is teaching us in here, let's be wise, let's be ambitious. I'm telling you what I'm going to do ahead of time. Riches and rewards are promised for deeds done. Now, free gift. Let's listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. For by grace you've been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. So, can you do good? No, that salvation comes as a gift. God died, Jesus died for you on the cross, rose. Salvation and righteousness is a gift, free, that God gives you, received by faith. But the next line, Ephesians 2:10, says, for we are God's workmanship. We are created in works, which God prepared. Walk in them. Isn't that cool? Isn't it? Like, you don't have to go figure out what kinds of things you're going to do necessarily. God says, the good works that are, I saved you by for you in 2016, I already put there for you. All you got to do is walk in them and be ready for them and keep your eyes open to walk in them. So, how should we live 2016? Well, one thing, just briefly, is we ought to be in the Word, because we're never going to have this clarity and this grace unless we hear his gospel preached to us. So let's be in the Word. Let's be in prayer, because that's also how God is strengthening us, and we have that grow in a relationship with the Lord, because he loves you, right, as your good shepherd. And then to be rich in good deeds. Let's set that as that's what we're not saved for good works. Jesus died for us that we might be a people zealous for good deeds, it says in the scriptures. And my job to you, according to Titus 3, is that let our people learn to apply themselves to good deeds. So let's just think about this. In August 11th, my birthday this last year, I decided one of the things I wanted to do was just set up a few little things to do a day. Not a lot, just a few. One of them was one good deed. And I did it for a while until just recently. Really fun. You know, God's word is really actually fun to keep. Let me just share with you a few of the good deeds I did. They're kind of cute, simple, not really that big, but August 12th, I wrote in my journal, I gave some love notes to Beth for her to find. Isn't that cool? Wives, would you like that to be from your husband? Oh, there you go. Write that down, men. That might be a good thing to do. August 13th, and I didn't have a lot of time, but I decided to get Beth's toothbrush ready for her in the morning and just get it ready for her. And I got a little glass of water, and I went outside, picked a flower, and put it in right next to her toothbrush. It only took a minute or so, but boy, pitter-patter, here comes the heart. You know, that's a good deed. God tells us to love our wives, right? August 20th, I wrote an encouraging note to my friend Ben in England. September 24th. I offered to help her worker at Subway. I remember it was late at night, and she had made a big spill in the back, and I offered to help clean it up for her. And she's like, no, 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 that's okay. And then when I paid for my sandwich, which was only $5, I gave her $10. I said, keep the change. You know, God bless your night. That was just a little good deed I did that day. And another day, Beth and I were at the Dollar Tree over here, and a little boy comes up and says, I told you the story, I think, excuse me, sir, how much does this toy cost? And I guess I looked like I worked there. You know, I didn't, but I said, you know, I don't know how much that costs, but you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll buy it for you if it's okay for your parents. Ask your parents, and if that's okay, I'd be happy to get one. And Beth saw that the little boy had a sibling, and she said, oh, get one for him too, or her too. And they went back and got some little toys, and we had a great time and got to witness about Christ in that. Now, I'm not setting myself up as a great example, because I fail in all these kinds of things too, but I'm just saying that they're easy. They're fun. And you know, if I didn't have that as a little one thing a day, just one little thing a day, my eyes wouldn't be open. But I set it up, I'm going to resolve just one a day, just one little tiny good deed a day. It opens my eyes, because all day long I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then finally, when something comes, a good work that God has prepared for me to walk in, I see it much quicker because I'm looking for something to do. You know? And then sometimes even at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's 10:30 at night. I didn't do anything. Oh, Beth, would you like a back rub? Because I want to do something good. You know, something good. And God loves that. We're to be zealous after good deeds. But as we do so, let's just remember that we're saved for good works, but it's Jesus' good works that gave us salvation, right? He is the best manager of time. He is the Ancient of Days. And when it came to his life, he said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no man can work. In other words, let's get to work, men. There's but little time to get done the deeds of the Lord and to accomplish all his task. And Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He died on the cross for our sins to be our Savior. He rose again at the proper time, and he gives salvation freely to all. That's his treasure. And giving all these things to you. And so he says, now, my people, I've loved you. I've given you everything as a generous, free gift. Go do this same thing and spread it abroad all over the world. Let that gospel in your heart become a gospel that then spreads love to other people. And you can do it. So would you do that with me? Yes. Set aside this year. How about just try that? And if you fail, just pick it up again the next day. 5 days a week. We won't do it the whole week. Okay? That might be too much. 5 days a week, the weekdays, just say, I'm going to do one good deed today. It might take you 30 seconds. I'm going to look for one good deed, 5 days a week. You do that the whole year, what will you have laid up for yourself in the world to come after this year, 2016? So that's our Father. That's the God of time, and he loves you. Let's be about it, and let his grace guide us through 2016. In Jesus' name, amen.